Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Doctrine of Truth. We're happy to have you again, wherever you are. This is a grassroots, we consider a program whereby we're coming on as simply as possible, talk about the solutions and problems that we have as growing as a Christian. And One Way Jesus, we call it One Way Jesus because of the fact that God has said that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. If you'd like to call in, you can dial 1-347-215-8816, 1-347-215-8816. We always like to start off with a prayer for our listeners. We thank God for you. We're praying today for the angels of protection to be around all our listeners, wherever you are. We're asking God through His Son, Jesus Christ, to be with you in whatever condition you're in, whatever problem you're going through. Remember, Jesus is a personal. He's a personal God. Through His Son, He's personal. He said, I'll be with you to the end of the world. And He went to prepare a place for us. So He's very personal. Even though we live in a community, in a world, in a system, but He's very, very personal. And you should consider that, that God gave you His Son. And His Son said, you know, I'm going to be your friend. We have prayer going out now. Angels of protection, according to John 14:14, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to loose your angels and a great abundance in our presence, the presence of everyone that we have prayed for the day, into our homes, your presence be in our homes, be in the cars, be in our trucks, in the land, the property, the building, and places to protect us, guide us, and to force out, drive out all unclean, evil spirits, wickedness, and demons, and tormenting spirits from our presence, from our homes, from our cars, from our trucks, from our land, from our properties, animals and workplace, and force them into the abyss. And any replacement of that they cannot return to us. Lord Jesus, we ask you created a hedge of protection of angels around each of our minds, and loose your mighty and warring angels around each of us, our homes, our cars, our land, our properties, animals, and workplace to protect us from the evil enemy. I ask you to do this according to your word, St. John 14:14, in Christ Jesus' holy name. To be God be the glory. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. If you accept that prayer of protection, that God will send angels in your place. God will protect you and put a blanket around you. And all of his efforts and all the things that you're going through. Remember, Jesus is one way. God is one way. We're saying that one way because he said that, you know, through his son. His son had paid the price. Son had paid the price. Because of he had paid the price for us. Amen. It is also necessary to understand that God cares for you. He cares for you. And you must understand that through his cares and through the things that he had done for us, it's very hard to comprehend, because many people cannot comprehend unless they hear the story. And the story is that God loved us so much that he paid the ultimate price. He paid the ultimate price. And we can understand and relate to payments when someone have done something against us, and you know, it's human nature, because it started out, amen, through the law of God, and God started out back in the garden, whereby Adam and Eve had done something wrong against God because they were deceived. They was told half the truth. They was giving them a part of information, and that is deception. When people give out part and half of information and cause people to do the opposite. Now, the enemy told Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis, the 3rd chapter, said, "The day you eat of this tree, you can choose." And man, today think he have choices. That he was thinking that God has given him choices, but we know we've been making bad choices. Jesus is the only way, and God has simplified it so, and he had breaking it down so that he is the only way. He is the only way. And because of that, we have choices. And the world always stretch out and say, "Oh, this is a choice. You can do this. You can do it if you want to do it. If you don't feel like it, if you don't feel right, you know." But it's a trap. It's a trap set. It's a trap set. And because of the fact that things that happen in our lives, we are ourselves, find ourselves in positions, and we made bad choices, and we made good choices, but yet and still, one thing you forget about is that your mind, your feelings, and the time you took, and the energy you put into, amen, doing what you thought was right because of the information that you have received was wrong. Notice here, the Apostle Paul was writing in the book of Romans, the 7th chapter, and here's a man that he knew he was right. He was religious, and he went through the most greatest training possible. He had a private tutor, and he was really began to work all as much as possible to do all he can for God, where he thought that he had done everything he can from God. And he had to sit out, and he has done things. It was bad choices, though. He had done bad choices. And he found out that through his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, had met him. He found out what he thought he was doing right for God, it wasn't. It wasn't the truth. It wasn't the truth. He was being deceived. Amen. He was being lost. And if you like to call in, maybe some of you have made bad choices, and that's what we're talking about. That's why Jesus said he's the only way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by him. And to you, you say, well, I'm always used to having choices. I always go in the store, I can pick this type of milk, this brand, this soda, this bread, this meat here, whatever. You're so used to that. But God, no, because his son walked this earth. He was a part of all the social changes, and he knew about it. And he's not behind. And this is what we have to understand, and you have to grasp this. Jesus is not behind. God is not behind. The church is not behind. They always have. God is Jesus in the flesh. He always ahead. When you created something and you developed something, and from your blueprint and from your specs, you are ahead of the situation. You're not behind. So what the enemy is saying that, listen, we are ahead of God. We're not behind God. We can do what we want to do. And he gave us choice. And he told Adam and Eve, the day you eat of this tree, you can choose between good and evil. You can choose between good and evil. If you like to call in, you can call 1-347, and all you have to do is push 1. And if you'd like to share with them some of the choices you have made, and you regret those choices, but we all made bad choices. We all made bad choices. But watch this now. This is the Apostle Paul now in Romans, the seventh chapter of Romans. And notice here, Paul reminding what he has found. And this is not to put you down. Now, this discussion today is not to put you down. This should make you more aware of who you are, and your background, and your training, how you have drilled yourself, and you have, once you learn something, once you learn how to drive or swim, or bake a cake, or make a suit, whatever your skill is, you put time in. You put time in, develop that, and you develop your mind, your senses, sometimes your subconscious. The subliminal suggestion can make you want things you haven't seen, and you say, oh, gee, I think I'm going to go over here, and I feel like going over here, because you got a suggestion within. All the human brain and mind is God made it perfect. God made us good, very good, but we have erred, not because we wanted to, but because of the wrong information. So now, Paul's saying here, in the book of Romans, watch this now, the book of Romans, he said, the seventh chapter, Paul said, for I know that in me, that in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Romans 7:18. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. You ever find that? You wanted to do that? Oh, the day I'm going to get up at a certain time, and you just started out, and things got in your way. It was very important, though. You was making a decision, but things had happened. The 19th verse says, for the good that I would, I do not. For the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that which is not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law. There's a law within me. Paul said he found this. He found that there's a guidelines, amen, that his mind and his spirit, his body, soul, and spirit, he found that within him, amen, there's a law going on. There's a law going on. That which I would do good, evil is present with me. Paul said he found this on his own now. He found this on his own through all the education and through all the praying and walking with God. He find that when he desired to do something better for God or for to better himself, he has a battle. He has a battle that's going on within him. And he said, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." That's why Jesus said, "I'll be with you. I am in you. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world." 1 John 4:4. "He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world." Now, when you enhance these type of warfare in you, how did you enhance it? You didn't even know that when you was born in sin. We weren't aware of that. Nobody told us that. And by, through what we have learned through our parents, our forefathers, or whatever, we begin to be more skillful at it. And by, then all of a sudden, so we found some information. Someone told us that God said that you are on the wrong track. And God said that he created us in his own image and his own likeness. And God said that, and you say, "Hold on, what God? Wait a minute now, there's many gods. Now, what is this about God said? God said, what God are you speaking of?" Because when you was whatever environment, whatever place that you living at and wherever you live at, there are many little gods. People even call themselves God. And God said in the last days, there'll be many people calling themselves Christ, coming after them saying they are Christ, you know, that they are God. So there should be some separation here. We're talking about, you know, the God that created the heavens and the earth, all the Milky Way, the stars, the moon, the stars. He created us, and he liked us. Okay, now, back to the warfare. "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Now, what you have learned, to break it down, Paul said, what you have learned, amen, and you adapted to that, and it's a part of your inner being. Amen. If you drive somewhere, you know, many times when I drive to other countries and go, I learn to drive on the opposite side of the road, left-hand side of the road. When I go to other countries, they drive on the right-hand side of the road. So there's a wall. I won't even try to drive there. I won't even try to drive in different countries because I'm so used to driving on the opposite, what they call it, the opposite side of the road. So I won't be able to adjust when the traffic coming my way, facing me. It's so interwoven in my spirit that I got to drive in my mind. You got to get on the right. Don't get on the left. Get on the right. Get on the left. And boom, there's an accident. Because then there's a big argument. "Oh, what's wrong with you? Where are you from, man? You should be on this side. Over here, the law says that, you know." So there we go. So I'm aware of that. So I won't even try to drive. I won't even try to drive. So I, you know, put myself subject to a taxi driver, and I don't know what the worst, me driving or the taxi driver driving. But anyway, there is a warfare going on constantly about because of the information that you receive. And the more you know about Christ, the more you know about his lifestyle. He knows, and this is where Christianity get A+. This is where Christianity really blooms and outstanding above all Christ, being Christ-like. Because of Christ, he knows what human beings have gone through. Regardless of who, what, when, where you are, he knows. He knows. He was born in the flesh. Amen. He walked God himself. God himself wrapped himself up, amen, in the body, a human body, and he walked among us, amen. For 30 years he walked among us. So he understands what it means to be despised. He knows what it means to be rejected, amen. He knows what it means to be sorrowful, amen. Jesus knows, and you can't take that away from him. You can argue all kind of points, amen, in scriptures and words and alphabets and language, but you cannot take the suffering, the cross that he suffered, and the rejection even now. Even if you're a Christian now, people want to reject you because of your lifestyle. They cannot take that away from you. They cannot take that away from you. But we're talking about today how Jesus had set apart and set out a pattern, and set apart and set out a plan for us to show his power among people, and as well as, amen, that he loved them as you being a Christian. Now, Isaiah said, he said, if you keep your mind on him, he keep you in perfect peace. Isaiah said at the book of Isaiah, God, one of God's major prophets, amen, he said, if you keep your mind on Christ, he will keep you in perfect peace. Now, I want you to be careful now. Be careful now. Don't jump ahead of this now. Watch this. Now, the Old Testament, which is God's prophet, God gave this to his man, and God spoke to individuals, but they wrote the word. They wrote the word. Now, God said, if you keep your mind on him, he'll keep you in perfect peace. That sounds like, you know, meditation, keeping your mind, controlling your mind, controlling what you think. God is concerned about what you think. He is, because he knows the mind is a powerful tool. It's a powerful computer if we learn how to operate it properly. It's a powerful computer, and is very powerful, and is very able to keep us. And that's why we keep our mind in the Word of God. The more Word of God that you have, the more understanding you have about God, because God is the Word. Also, he said in Philippians, Paul said in Philippians, the 4th chapter, be careful for nothing but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind, they go to mind again, through Christ Jesus. You know, praying and talking to God and bending yourself to Christ, because Christ is the one that came in the flesh. Amen. He represents God, the Father, the creator of all mankind. He walked among us, and he knows. But yes, even though he knows, but we still live here. Ain't that right? We still live in this environment. We live here, and we are seeking a better life with him. And, you know, just like in the new job, a new career. Yes, you learn, you go through the books, and you make new trials. But going on in a new workplace with new people, and they find out, say, oh, you're a Christian. Well, how you know? Well, you know, because the things that you do, you don't like what we do, so you might have some confrontation there, light confrontation. They might be lightly rejecting you, and all of a sudden you find yourself that you're trying to adjust, keeping your mind on that, keep your mind on your work. Now, keep your mind on your work. Are you going to a new neighborhood? You know, you find a good house, yes, but the environment, the people around you, all of a sudden, but it's a good house, a good price. But your neighbors, you know, in the neighborhood, you have to get adjusted. Maybe the animals in the neighborhood and the neighbor next door, you know, the music they like or they don't like. Thank God you find somebody that you all have the same faith. Everybody got a faith. Everybody believe in something. Everybody believe in something. So Paul said in Philippians that, amen, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, be any praise, think. Here we go. Here we go. All right, grab your seatbelts. Grab your seatbelt. Think. Think. What are you thinking now? What are you thinking? What are you thinking about? Are you thinking? Are you just riding along and just, you know, love to hear noise? You don't want to be by yourself. You had the radio playing. Okay, radio. You got the phone. Okay, you need communication. All right, you know. But the Bible is concerned about, and Jesus is concerned about, what are you thinking? What are you feeding? You're feeding your mind. Your mind, you're feeding your spirit. Amen. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So whatever you hear during the run of the day, you have to evaluate that. You have to evaluate that. You should be able to sometime, someplace, say, well, this is for me and this is not for me. But the world say, well, you don't have any joy. You don't have any joy. You don't have any friends. You do have friends. There are more people in the world besides you. Even though Jesus is a personal Savior, he will lead you to people and friends just like you. Just like you. My same height, yes, your same height, your same weight, your same eye color, he will lead you to people just like you. And you can tell. You can tell. All right, you can tell. Now, the problem is, now we get into the problem of this now. We get into the problem. The warfare that we're having can create a little stress. And stress create a little fear. Well, fear, you know, fear, if you define the word fear, you know, false evidence. False evidence. It's false evidence. False evidence. False evidence, that's what it is, false evidence. Fear is false evidence. You created false evidence. It comes to your mind, but it doesn't come on your own. It brings, the world bring it when they see you trying to be positive. They see you trying to go ahead of your dream or your vision. And you have people around you, like with Adam and Eve, saying that, oh, no. The day that you do this, you don't need to talk to nobody but yourself. And Adam and Eve said, the day that you eat of this tree, you'll be like a god. You'll be self-sufficient. But watch this now. We are wrestling sometime with ourselves. We're wrestling with ourselves. We're wrestling with our past. We're wrestling with bad choices. We're wrestling with, say, well, God, can you help me? Jesus, can you help me? Jesus, can you help me get over this situation? And if you examine it properly, it might be something dealing with the past. Now, what? There are some people have put some plans together, and we know it was biblical, and it was durable and is workable, and one of them we like to use, you know, is very popular, playing with Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm reading for, I'm going to read a page here from the Seeker's Guide, Elizabeth Lesser. From the Seeker's Guide, she written a pretty good book, you know, Making Your Spiritual Adventures. Elizabeth Lesser from the Seeker's Guide, and she made a very good point here, and I like to bring it out and share with you concerning a friend of hers, and things that have happened. I'm going to read a portion. Say, a dear friend of mine who already suffered from extreme sensitivity and anxiety lost his 7-year-old daughter in a terrible car accident. Unable to deal with the loss and with his feelings,